We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Russ Dorsey is in Arizona where it's warm.
I kind of hate him.
Woo.
Not just for stunting on all of us, bragging about the weather.
I wasn't stunting.
A little bit.
No stunting.
He's stunning.
A little bit.
If you get on Twitch right now, I believe those are called lat muscles.
Nope.
Jesus, dude, you are jacked out of your mind. So you're talented, you're young, you're the beat reporter of the Cubs, you're in warm weather, and you're in tremendous shape. I kind of hate you, Russ Dorsey. I'm sorry, but thank you for being on the show.
Somebody has to do it, Danny. So if you guys aren't, I think I can take one for the team and do all those things for you.
Looks like an extra from Dolph Lundgren movie, doesn't he? Looking good, looking trim and fit. Yeah.
You're like the personification right now of Suns Out, Guns Out. Like, you are just flexing on all of us.
Let's go limp, 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 limp. You're flexing. Let's go limp.
For all the fine folks back at home, it is a lovely 70 degrees here in the valley. I wasn't going to allow myself to wear sleeves.
We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood.
Russ Dorsey's the Cubs beat reporter for the Sun-Times. I'm told they're traps, not lats. See, that's how you know I'm just
They
skeletal.
Are traps.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't know.
Lats are on the backside, Danny. We got to get you in the gym, baby.
Dude, it's a long process.
Quite an athlete. Big biceps. Man, he is put together.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Nicely done, Chris Tannehill. Thank you for hanging out with us. It is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Get in our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, the hour brought to you by Innovative Wellness. Visit innovativewell.com. Yeah, I got to work on my traps. That was a good-looking muscle on a Russ Dorsey. My shoulders are just flat across. He has the whole triangle thing going on. That's a good look.
Yeah, that whole thing where like a human looks like an athlete.
Yeah.
Like a high performance.
It's called definition.
Yeah, like a high performance species. Yeah,
it's a newer type of
really
situation.
It really is. It was like, oh, okay. So I could look like that. Theoretically, if I had started a long time ago and hadn't done 80% of the things I've done to my body in my life.
If I didn't have a sedentary lifestyle and wasn't inherently lazy with back problems and a penchant for marijuana, I too could have muscle definition. Well, but I mean, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how's the play?
Yeah, other than that, you are who you are, damn it.
That's
and
right.
we know the value that's added to the neighborhood. By you there, as discussed, you won't be snow blowing, but you will be offering vape pen hits and pithy rejoiners as the snow blowers do their work in the neighborhood. And damn it, there's got to be value in there somewhere.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find the value, even if it doesn't exist. But you mentioned...
I'll be out there.
Snowblower. So Bob Nightingale is going to join the show today. Bob Nightingale gets some things wrong. Bob Nightingale.
If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on, you guys can certainly do that.
Thank you, Jed. Appreciate
that. We're taking you up on it today. And but he also gets a lot of things right, in particular with the White Sox, because he has a line to Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams. And so he got the Tony La Russa story right from the jump, and he had the story the other day on their unusual negotiation with Liam Hendricks. It was very interesting. And then today, on the day that pitchers and catchers report for the White Sox and Rick Hahn meets the media, he has a long story with an interview of Tony La Russa where they address his sensibilities on celebration, being old, what drew him back to the game, why this job,
yes,
and yes, the hiring process. I found it to be an interesting article and conversation.
It's the first sit-down interview, which Bob makes sure to write in there, and he's right to do it. It is the first long-form sit-down interview that Tony La Russa has given since all of this went down. They did talk about everything. It speaks to the uncomfortable nature of the hire that on the day pitchers and catchers report, it's a distraction that the manager speaks. It's the freaking
manager.
That's
unusual.
Don't you think? It's the manager giving an interview. You're supposed to be wanting press. Like, oh, our new manager, we're getting some more attention. And it is, frankly, an unfortunate distraction for the franchise that the manager has spoken.
And so crazy. I'm reading this piece basically immediately after it posts because I kind of live on Twitter. And I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And then it gets to the section of the DUI and the hiring, and it includes this paragraph. La Russa informed Angels owner Artie Moreno of the arrest the following day and offered to resign. Moreno kept him all season. When the White Sox started the interview process with La Russa in October, he also told Reinsdorf of the incident. Reinsdorf didn't share it with anyone. And I know that we know that this was a Jerry Reinsdorf decision and it wasn't a Rick Hahn decision. They have basically admitted that publicly. Rick being surprised, not thinking he was a candidate, having to readjust his expectation for the managerial process. Those were all things that were talked about at the time of the hiring.
Absolutely. The I'm being held hostage vibe that he clearly gave off the entirety of Tony's introductory day. Yes.
But so we thought that hostage vibe from Rick Hahn was the product of getting jumped in the pecking order by his owner and the GM not being able to hire the manager. And then we find out, like, a day and a half later that he was arrested for DUI.
Well, we don't know when in that process, obviously, Rick Hahn found out. I think that vibe that you described, I think that still was the vibe and will go down in history as the vibe. A guy being jumped after 5 years of being allowed to do what he want, having to make the difficult choice to remain in your job, which is a great one when the boss tells you what's going to happen.
But my point is was the look at that press conference one of, I'm introducing this manager who I didn't want and I have to put on a happy face? Or is it, I'm introducing this manager who I didn't want and I have to put on a happy face, and at some point the other shoe's going to drop and people are going to find out that we hired him after he was arrested for DUI? Like, I don't know when Bob Nightingale says
that Jerry
Reinsdorf didn't tell anybody. To me now, a very newsworthy question here in terms of the operation of how the White Sox are doing business and just how undercut Rick Hahn was in this process is, yo, did Rick Hahn find out about Tony La Russa's DUI with the rest of us? Like, that's at least in play when Bob writes what he writes. I don't think it was that egregious,
but I don't know that it wasn't. Rick finds out after that introductory press conference?
I don't know. Do you?
No, I don't know for sure, no.
Shane, Tanny, you guys follow the White Sox very closely? You guys have any idea?
I certainly don't want to speculate, but I think when Passan broke that story, it was a bombshell. Like, no one, like, there was no inklings of anything like that going on. It wouldn't surprise me if he knew along with everyone else, you know. But I would hate to speculate about that. But, yeah, it was
3 or 4 months ago, I would have been surprised. Jerry Reinsdorf is a bad guy. Like, we see that now. He's a bad guy. It would not surprise me at all if he knew, hey, shoot, if I tell Kenny and Rick that he got a DUI, they're either going to walk away or they're going to do everything they can to get me out of here and get me out of the decision-making process.
Oh, no, but they'd have no power to do that. I think once he says, look, this is what we're going to do, you guys talk to him, make sure that you think he's cogent, but this is what we're going to do, then you might as well just throw everything at them so they're ready and they're willing. I mean, it's possible that Tony says at that point, look, really don't tell anybody still because maybe it'll never get out and you don't. But you have to allow your employees to be prepared a little.
I would think, but to me, the fact that we don't know is absolutely news and worthy of discussion because it honestly never dawned on me. Until this story today, that it was possible. Actually, no, I can't say that it never dawned on me, because I did ask one person a question about that and wasn't able to get an answer when the news story broke of exactly what Rick knew when he knew it. But now today, because Rick Hahn has not been willing to speak on this at all until the legal system ran its course and he pled guilty and he got the one day and the $1,300 fine and all of that stuff. But so Shane's like, hey, he's meeting the media today at noon. You can ask him. And I said, all right, I'll ask him, because I don't know if it's going to get brought up by the White Sox beat reporters who deal with him on a daily basis. They do a great job of covering the team, but like, maybe it will, maybe it won't. And Paul Sullivan asked some questions about the Bob Nightingale story with regards to Tony La Russa, and if Rick Hahn had the sense that fans were coming more around on the hiring, and he asked that. And then four or five people later in the press conference, I was called on to ask a question, and this is how it went with me and Rick Hahn.
6-7 to score, Danny Parkins.
Hey, Rick. Just following up on Sully's question, Bob in that piece with Tony also, he reported that Tony disclosed to Jerry about the DUI arrest and that Jerry told no one. So I was wondering, like, when in that process did you find out about the arrest?
You know, Danny, today is as I sit here today, and really of all days, the day when there's optimism and excitement and we're back together in the same place for the first time in a while, and we have World Series aspirations, I'm not that interested in sort of going through the hiring process and decision and the communication and the internal elements of that. Honestly, like, the last few months working with Tony, I've gotten more and more excited about where this team is headed and what he's going to contribute. Sitting here today, looking at the staff that we were able to assemble, I'm just thrilled with the conversations we've had. Unfortunately, mostly via Zoom, but the conversations we've had and the position we've got this team in right now. And my focus is not on rehashing something that happened 4 or 5 months ago. It's about the excitement that we feel as we get ready to try to win a championship. So I know that's probably an unsatisfying answer, but honestly, Danny, that's as candid as I can be about the thing, is that I'm looking forward to the future. I'm not trying to rehash the past process.
There's a story there. And I asked the question in the place I was given to, someone was immediately called on. The obvious follow-up is, well, the reason it's relevant today is because the story broke today. Mm-hmm. It was in USA Today today. And how much does it hamper your ability to do your job if you're working for someone who doesn't share all that information with you? Yeah. But I think it's very clear on some level that Rick Hahn found out about that arrest later than he would have liked to find out about that arrest. I don't know when it happened in the process, but based on Nightingale's report, that comment about Reinsdorf, and he could have just said, I found out at an appropriate time, but I don't want to go back into the past. Like, there's something there, and he doesn't want to share it, which is his prerogative, but Jerry Reinsdorf didn't just force the Rick Hahn to hire Tony La Russa. He withheld some information about his DUI for at least a period of time. We just don't know how long that period of time was.
Yeah, I don't know. That's speculation, and I understand why you're saying it. And the lack of an answer gives that some heat, gives that speculation some heat.
And the reporting from Bob Nightingale. He could have denied it.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple things here. First off, this goes back to why, as an organization, to be dreading the fact that your manager talks on day one of Pitchers and Catchers Report is an absurd thing to do to your franchise. And that's what ownership has done to this franchise. Look, they want to move past it. I get it. I wouldn't mind moving past it either. I'd love to talk some baseball. And we will eventually have plenty of time to talk baseball. But he talked today. He talked yesterday to Nightingale, and here it is. So it's completely justifiable to ask the question, no matter what they think. The fact that you went on there and asked it, frankly, talk show hosts a lot of times have not bothered to go to the ballpark and be involved in media scrums like that. And now there's no ballpark, but a lot of times talk show hosts, I mean, I hop on some baseball stuff like that. I was glad to see you hop on. I was glad to see you get called on, frankly, because, you know, a team's PR staff could curate the questions and make sure that it's just people they feel safe around or whatever. So I was glad they called on you. I was glad you asked it. You asked, it was completely fair. And Rick doesn't have to answer it if he doesn't want to. Then we're free to talk about it. I respected the way that he declined it and yet still acknowledged the question and talked about the situation. And we can get to some of the substance of his comment at another point. But I thought overall, that's why I said, but in transition, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. And there remains a story possibly there.
Probably an unsatisfying answer. But honestly, Danny, that's as candid as I can be about the thing.
He could be more candid, but I want to be very clear here. I feel badly for Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn was put into a terrible position by his boss.
So do I, and I think most people do. I think that has that message or that truth has gotten out, whether they have tried to or not. I think everyone now understands what Konerko said: "He who has the gold makes the rule." And you just, there are pluses and minuses to working for a boss, and this is the way that life is lived there.
Yeah, but so I remember we talked about it on the show, like, hey, can we call the White Sox a good organization? They're a very good team. They could win the World Series, but can you call them a good organization when your owner forces his general manager to hire his buddy, who's the manager, when he knew that he had been arrested for his second DUI? And I said, no, that's not the way a good organization conducts its hiring process, searching for the best and the brightest, and it's not a good way to go about it with transparency. So I do think that Rick Hahn is doing his job with an arm tied behind his back. And if it is more than Jerry forced Rick to hire his friend, it's Jerry forced Rick to hire his friend, clearly knowing that he had a DUI arrest, and he withheld that from Rick Hahn. Man, that's just being a terrible boss. Period. Like that is just putting Rick Hahn in a terrible position.
The fact that he has to answer the questions at all—it's
terrible.
That he has to deal with it on a day like today and has to deal with that story coming out and that nugget coming out is a terrible thing to do to your general manager. I agree.
Yeah, it's just a bad way to do business. If that's what it was, then Jerry should have been there at the introductory press conference for Tony La Russa.
Doesn't have to.
No, I know.
No, but that's of course. I guess I don't mean to be dismissive. It's like at a certain point it becomes a, like you put your hands up and you're like, this is what they are, you know?
Sure.
But it is damaging and hurtful to a lot of people, not everybody, but to a lot of people in that fan base who embraced, this is not your father's White Sox for five years, that embraced that, like, oh, here we go. It's a different way of doing things. And they have done things very differently. They've done a lot of really, really good, wonderful, creative things. But in the end, it's the owner's toy. It's a hobbyist.
When is Jerry held accountable, though? This is like a boss that is the enforcer and has somebody else carry out his enforcements, and he never has to answer to them. So yep. When is somebody getting the chance to ask Jerry, yes, you did this, but why?
Nobody, apparently, is going to get that chance.
Yeah. They play by a different set of rules, man.
They sure do. We'll talk to Bob. We'll talk to the chosen source at 5:20.
Is this a good time to confirm that Bob definitely doesn't listen to the show? Otherwise, there's no chance he'd be on today.
No, Bob knows the reality. All these guys understand the reality of it, I think, whether it's a matter of how artfully they say it.
Yeah, and I'm not even today. Listen, Bob got the Tony La Russa story right. Like, you know what I mean? He has the access. He has the sourcing. He got this story right. We will talk about this story. It will be fair. I don't think it will be contentious. Maybe he will be upset at some of the presuppositions, which is just, hey, man, this hiring process was not well done. As an objective reporter, would you agree that this is abnormal? And what consequences do you think exist there? And I'm going to see if I can get him to illuminate more on the timeline of what Rick Hahn knew and when he knew it.
Well, it's embarrassing, but it's not serious.
Yeah, that would, but right. If he would have said that on our show, that would have been
a problem. Like that would have been when he said that about Tony La Russa's DUI.
Yeah,
that would have been confrontational. But I'm not looking for that today. I'm legitimately looking for what did Rick Hahn know? When did he know it? Because we already knew that he got strong-armed into hiring a manager, but was he also lied to? That matters, man. That has to matter when you're evaluating the competency of your organization and like the organizational flowchart. Does it not? I'm not crazy here, right? This is a legitimate news item
it
in
matters.
That story.
Well, you know, but at a certain point, all those details become not irrelevant. Irrelevant is the wrong word, but it just becomes more data on the truth, which is that the bosses are not really the bosses. The owner is the boss, and that's that, and that's what he wanted, and that's what he gets. So it ends up just being more data on that side. And then the actual experience comes into play, like Rick's answer about over the past couple months, I've enjoyed what Tony has brought to it, what he's going to bring to the ball club. That, from everybody I've talked to, that's true, that they're like, oh, they're pleasantly surprised that he's engaged. And he's curious and he's energetic at this point. And they worried about how much they were going to have to carry a manager through a season. And we'll see if it gets there. But like that's they're pleasantly surprised. That's the truth of the moment. But hell, of course, it's relevant to the now. And it's probably relevant to how the GM is feeling and how a lot of people in that organization are feeling in terms of being undercut. But there are not a lot of great jobs like that. Not a lot of
What I want to get into coming up. So you're going to make the case for the Cubs over 77 wins. Herb and I went back and forth on Twitter today, and I don't know if Herb's there, and if he wants to grab a mic, he can or he can't. It doesn't matter. I would love to have him on if he's available. But this idea that
I just booked Herb.
Good job by you.
Good job. Way to go.
Like
he said, he'll talk on Twitter, but not on the air.
Okay, but like Rick Hahn was wronged, so he should resign. And if he doesn't resign, then it doesn't matter that he was wronged. And I just think there's a huge breakdown in logic there when we're talking about this team that has public interest attached to it. So the idea that if Rick Hahn feels upset, he should just resign, and if not, deal with it. I want to get into that conversation coming up on The Score.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
Jim Harbaugh and Brad Mustard were part of the backfield at that time.
That is not something I'm interested in. Well, then, now that's a win from the exchange with me and Rick Hahn on the Zoom earlier today. Just hang out the old not interested signs.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
I get it.
That's a keeper. That's a keeper right there. What is Chris Tannehill's visceral reaction when he hears that at that point? A lot of satisfaction, excitement. He thinks of the spot in the digital, like where it's going to go so he can access it, that kind of thing.
He's going to make it the text alert for when I text him on his phone.
Nah, you know, it could go in the White Sox section of my drops. Could go in the Danny section. Who knows? There's so many possibilities. That's just two, really. But, yeah, I was very happy that Danny asked the question. And, you know, I thought Rick did an okay job answering it. It's a tough spot for him, but at the very least, he gave us that. So
you know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
Well, that's interesting. I'm sorry, Danny. It's a relevant question. I'm wondering why Tanny thought the answer could have been better or more. Do you think he could have actually given the detail and the answer?
Yeah, like you guys touched on. Like, you know, I found out, you know, in a reasonable amount of time before, you know, making the announcement, before having the press conference, anything like that, like any little breadcrumb, just sort of, you know, just put it to rest. Like, you know, did you know before or after everyone else knew?
Exactly.
You know? So, but you know, this part here, I thought was, you know, kind of curious to me.
Probably an unsatisfying answer, but honestly, Danny, that's as candid as I can be about the thing.
Did that strike you too, Danny? Candid as I can be?
Yeah, absolutely. He's not at liberty to tell the whole story of how it went down because he knows the whole story of how it went down makes his bosses look bad. And really his ultimate boss, Jerry Reinsdorf. Mm-hmm. There's, again, I don't know how bad the story is, but I know that it was not done well. It's just too obvious at this point. Like, he could have very easily said,
I found out during the interview process. And I don't want to live in the past. And I'm happy and I've gotten to know Tony more and we're going to be good going forward. And he didn't do that. So that tells me that there's something about that detail that he doesn't want. And you could say, oh, Parkins, that's just conjecture. Man, again, Bob Nightingale has gotten every detail of this particular story right. And when he has it in there and Reinsdorf didn't tell anybody, that's why we're having him on today at 5:20 to follow up on, like, wait, he didn't tell anybody? Like, when did he tell somebody? Like, did Rick Hahn find out about the DUI when the public did, when Jeff Passan broke that story and called the White Sox for comment? I don't know the answer to that, but maybe Bob Nightingale does. And if that is the case, that's why that would be an explanation as to why Rick Hahn would play it today in that way that he did with me and my question, right? I'm not at liberty to get into details on that. I don't want to relitigate the past. So that's kind of how I feel about it. But I also want to talk to Herb for a minute, Lawrence, because he's Lawrence Holmes' producer. You guys know Herb Lawrence, but
yeah, my name's Matt. My name's Matt.
Your name is Matt,
right?
Herb, you think if Rick Hahn was wronged, he should just resign? I don't want to characterize your position for you, but can you kind of lay out like your reaction or response to this story and that detail in the Nightingale piece?
I think if you are, your authority is usurped, like it was there, and then you find out that your owner was lying to you, your only recourse in that regard is to resign or threaten to resign. Otherwise, you're going along with the plan. That's what I feel. Otherwise, like, there's no, like, why would we feel sorry for Rick Hahn? He, like, Jerry Reinsdorf has been this dude forever. So I'm not feeling sorry for a guy who took a job from the guy that did the thing, did the usurping for him. So Rick Hahn, I'm sorry that happened to you, but you know who Jerry is. So you either resign or you stay and don't feel sorry for him.
So he's complicit. Once he stays, he's complicit and part of the situation, for better or for worse.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you this: like, I at least on Twitter, I said if I was Rick Hahn, I'd be furious. I'm not talking about feeling sympathy for a multimillionaire baseball executive with a cherished job and a great team and all of that. To me, it's not even about sympathy. It's about if the only recourse there is quitting. He's got a contract, presumably with a non-compete. Presumably Jerry Reinsdorf would enforce that non-compete. And so because his owner made him hire a manager he didn't want, when many people don't even think managers have that much value anyway.
That's me.
When he spent years and years and years building this team, taking Kenny Williams' stuff, trying to rebuild on the fly, one foot in the pool, one foot out. He gets the trade Eaton. He gets the trade Sale. He gets to trade Quintana. He signs Luis Robert. He has the team on the verge of winning a championship, and he's supposed to quit over a manager? Like, I feel like you could be pissed at your boss and be done wrong by your boss, and your recourse can fall short of quitting, and you could still be an aggrieved party. Like, I feel like both things can be true.
Like, there's nothing that Rick Hahn got out of this. He didn't get his manager out of this. He didn't get more money out of this. His team is not in a better spot, not in that much better spot than they were when they ended the season. They have better players. I mean, Adam Eaton's probably a little bit better than Nomar Mazara. The closer is definitely better than Alex Colome, who was pretty good.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Herb. Like, Rick Hahn gets to continue being one of 30 general managers. He actually gets to do it in a town where he basically lives. In fact, he does live there, for an organization he knows. And he does get to watch his players and the team that he put together win. It's just, and it's a good job. And there are not many jobs like it. He just has to eat some crap to do it. And he has to eat more crap than others. But such is the gig. You've eaten crap and kept the job, right? I know I have. It sucks.
Whenever, like, if we, like, Danny and I were talking, like, if Mitch and I had a disagreement, or if I had a disagreement on how Mitch is doing his job or what's going on with the score, I go to him. And Mitch is a reasonable person that maybe I don't get what I want, but here's a resolution there. There's something that I'm like, all right, we've talked it out. It's all good. There's no recourse there for Rick Hahn.
But we have no idea whether or not Rick Hahn had that conversation with Jerry Reinsdorf or Kenny Williams.
What's happened?
We don't know. I mean, for all we know, he got a raise. For all we know, he was able to have a larger payroll. We don't know.
He might have got that there and stayed.
But they didn't get a larger payroll. Where's it at?
Well, they. I mean, I'm saying like we don't. We have no idea what he may or may not have been given for having to eat that crap. Normally, if you've got to eat some crap for your employer, part of the arrangement is silence.
Yeah, but I'm saying also. Like, it's not just one thing. Like, hiring Tony La Russa, I would be furious. But then lying to you about the DUI, he knew about it. And I know people out there, he didn't lie to him. No, omission is lying. He knew something that would make a negative connotation for everybody in their minds. He lied to his employees and did not tell him the full story. That's where you have to say, I had integrity. I have a Harvard degree. I went to Michigan, Northwestern Business School. I'll get a job. I have integrity about myself. And yes, I did build this and I would like to see it through, but I can't have this man keep on doing this crap to me. Because guess what? Next year, as Tony decides to hang it up, he'll do it again. He'll get one of his guys again and go right over Rick's head. I mean, when is this going to end? It's always going to be Jerry's way.
There's
no matter what.
There's a cost, Herb, for the lifetime pass. There's a cost for getting to share the bunk bed with John Paxson in the Reinsdorf estate for as long as you want.
This is why I call him Teflon Rick. Not because of him. I'm sure Rick would like a little jab every once in a while. I think the media in Chicago specifically, he is a very affable guy. He's a guy that can speak. He's a guy that is great to the media and great to his players. But he doesn't get treated fairly in this town as far as he has only had one winning season and we've been talking about him like he's the next coming.
Well, just for me personally, listen, Rick won't come on the show. Like he didn't like the Machado
stunt. Danny, I'm not that interested.
Yeah, so I have no like personal, Rick Hahn is so great to me and a source to me, and so like I protect him. I just think he was done wrong here, and I think that holding him to the standard of you were done wrong, so you have to quit, and anything short of quitting is complicity, is just too binary.
Because this is what's going to happen, though, Danny. At the end of the year, say the White Sox go to the ALCS. He himself said anything less than the World Series win is a disappointment. All the media is going to be like, Jerry tied his hands. Payroll was a little tight. Didn't go out and get Trevor Bauer. Rick can't do his job. This is what we heard in 2000 up to 2016. He was the GM at that time. Well, Kenny's still running the team. He can't do what he wants to. No one blames him for Fernando Tatis' trade. That's always that was a Kenny. He's trying to always go for the gusto and go for the win. This is what I'm talking about with the Chicago media.
I get it.
You know, some jackass trade at Tatis.
Yeah, you're bringing a lifetime of front office viewing and Rick Hahn's context to it. And Danny is looking at the particulars of the situation. But it is in the end a man's choice whether you live with the pluses and the minuses of your boss. I understand Rick's choice to live with both the pluses and the minuses.
And Herb, man, thank you for hopping on. I enjoyed the back and forth on Twitter. It shows that people can debate and it not be personal at all. So thank you, man, for hopping on. We got to step aside. I'm reading Barack Obama's book, and he talked about the vetting of selecting vice presidents. Mm-hmm. And one of Joe Biden's conditions was, I have to be the last person in the room with you on every major decision, but I will ultimately support whatever decision you make. So even if the president chooses a decision that his vice president disagrees with, he will still support him. That's and I think that there's some of that going on here, right? Rick Hahn has bosses. He doesn't agree with this decision, but ultimately he feels like he can do more by having the job and disagreeing with this decision,
yes,
as opposed to I'm taking my ball and going home,
yes,
and quitting the job.
I think that everybody there says all this stuff to each other. I think they absolutely do. And that was true for Guillen and Kenny Williams. They said everything to each other, and they believed that disagreement was right. in the team of rivals sense that you're talking about that we know Obama believes in too.
So we have Hub Arkeshit for Bob Nightingale at 520. This conversation will continue, but Spieg sells us on the Cubs and really sells me on the Cubs being better than I think they're going to be. It's next on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.